Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And we're fortunate and privileged and delighted to welcome today Jasmine Heen from Australia. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Just sitting here doing my morning meditation, and you know how sometimes you just click right into that frequency and it just bathes you in all that yummy love. It's so delicious.
And it just feels like soaring to me.
Yeah, melting also. It's so nice. It's like you just shift into another space that's vast and limitless and loving and nurturing and very addictive, very good, and free.
And free. It's like solar energy, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Jasmine Heen, I want to back up a little bit and talk a little bit about what I know of you, which is awe-inspiring and awe-inspiring. And, you know, I had heard of your work for some time before I met you and, you know, all of the books you've written. And the work you do with people living luscious lifestyles, and also really working on the planet and issues on the planet in a cosmic way, and all of those things show on your face and in your countenance, and you shine like the sun. Thank you for doing that, and you're one of the most beautiful and inspiring women I have ever met. So that's why I wanted to ask you to be on here, because...
Hello? I think I've lost you. We've dropped out. Our line has dropped out. Hello? All right. Hi. It's funny, you know, Iris's line has just dropped out, so it's just me and whoever's listening out there. You know, Iris was talking about people shining, and I think that's what we're all being invited to do, to step into that pool of love inside of ourselves, and from that point, just really allow that infinite love to radiate out through every pore of our skin. And one, you know, we receive these incredible gifts when we do so, because it nourishes us on such deep levels, and it takes away all our hungers, you know, whether we're hungry physically or emotionally or mentally or spiritually. That well of love, or the web of love inside that connects us all, and has the most incredible power to really nourish us and shine through us. And that's what we're being invited to do right now on Earth, is to be a person who radiates that infinite pool of love through every pore of our skin, rather than be someone who's absorbing stuff from the world and being affected by it and riding the roller coaster of life. So it's a nice invitation for us all. It's a nice place for us to come into, and a wonderful service to the world, because we can all do that. We can all radiate this infinite field of love that dwells inside of us. So it's good. I don't know if it's... You found her. Good. Hello, darling. You're back.
You can hear me now?
I can hear you.
Well, you sound a little bit faint to me, and I'm worried that that might be faint to the listeners. So can you just speak up and project your maximum Jasmine goddess power? your super voice.
Okay. All right. How's that sounding? Is that sounding better?
Not better, my darling. I can hear you better.
That's wonderful.
So that's good. I wanted to say that, how many books have you written now? 17 at last count that I knew of.
About 24.
24 books.
Yeah. I'm working on a children's series at the moment. It's not really a children's series. It's called The Enchanted Kingdom. It's a trilogy. The first book is The Ascension of Woman, the second book, The Ascension of Man, and the third book, The Ascension of the Planet. So I'd like to take it to Hollywood and make some sort of cross between Star Wars, Matrix, and Harry Potter type movies.
Wow. And I know that the things that come through you will definitely be for the upliftment and enlightenment and illumination and freedom and abundance and joy of all life.
Yeah. Look, we're so fortunate, Iris, because we just live in incredible times. You know, one, if you're different and offbeat, they don't actually burn us at the stake anymore or, you know, crucify us, not in the obvious way. And we are a lot more fortunate to be living in this time with a huge awakening of consciousness and people really interested in manifesting the best of themselves in a way that's harmonious to everybody and that's positive and uplifting for our planet. So we're not alone here. There's millions and millions of people focused on this, and it's starting to show, which is wonderful.
It definitely is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, every time I have an interaction with you, I find out more wonderful, wonderful things that you're up to. And how many websites do you have?
Only two. I've got the CIA, the Cosmic Internet Academy, which we set up many years ago in 1996 because we wanted to offer free information to the world that could transform our world in a positive way and transform the individual. And it was kind of rebalancing the energies of the other CIA and very tongue-in-cheek and fun, you know, just lots of free data that's positive. And then over the years, I set up JudgeMaheen.com because I wanted to be able to say what I wanted to say more from a personal point of view and less from a detached point of view, which is what the CIA offers. So just the two, and they run still, you know, really well. We get many, many visitors, and one of the most interesting things is that we wrote a planetary peace program, or downloaded from the Universal Field of Infinite Love and Intelligence, a planetary peace program, with 7 or 8 different projects to just eliminate the need or the occurrence of terrorism in our world, you know, really addressing the issues that give rise to such imbalances and creating peace. And, you know, we have about 100,000 copies of those a year downloaded from the CIA and from JudgeMaheen.com sites, which is wonderful. You know, it's a free book and people can access it easily and apply the different things. So it's great to know that you can have a presence in the internet while you inspire people to go on the inner net and get their own data. You know, so it's good. It's wonderful world we live in, again, just from a technological point of view as well, and the way we can freely share our information, because people are downloading so much amazing stuff when they sit in meditation. You know, Max Planck, the quantum physicist, once said that for every problem in the quantum field, there is always a solution. And it's true. You know, we just need to ask the perfect resolution that creates win-win-win outcomes for everyone, and it does come.
Yes, and now, you know, formerly this has been known as the death planet, you know, where things were solved with death, or someone had to lose for someone to win, or someone had to die for someone to inherit, like there was only so much good. And that is being replaced with the truth, which there is, everyone can call forth their own supply, and it is here for them. And there's only one source of good and plenty for all.
Yeah. And well, it's beautiful because there's matrixes, you know. I know many people, when we first saw the movie The Matrix, some people had different reactions, but a lot of people got it, that there is like this infinite web of intelligence that's supremely wise and loving, and it flows through all, it weaves us. It's like the American Indians' discussion of Spider Woman's web of life, and we're all connected. And the more we focus outside of ourselves, the less we experience that inner web, that inner matrix of love. And as we engage in practices of meditation and inner field work, that web, that matrix becomes alive for us. So, you know, it's just a universal law-type process of whatever we focus on becomes real. So we look for that infinite source of love and wisdom within us and within others, and it really shines. And the rest is just, you know, the human game of being given the power of free will to create. We know that. We understand universal law. We've created a lot in our world, from poverty to chaos to all sorts of dysfunctional systems, and we've learned a lot about that along the way. And now we're aware enough to say, okay, well, let's combine our power, let's unify and create something that's worthy of our true essence, you know, that's worthy of our children as they move into a brighter future, and understanding that we have this creative power because we are all plugged into this infinite matrix of supreme love. So, yeah.
And you know, there is a divine solution for everything that is joyous. If if all of us really do go on the internet and look within, and those things are being handed down as never before for many people, everyone that asks.
Yeah, it is, and that's the key, I find. You know, when I really understood that, and for some reason I got that understanding quite young. I remember being about 6 years old, going to Sunday school and hearing the teachings of the Christ, and this Christed energy is so prevalent on our planet today. And one of the things that really got me was this attitude or idea that you just have to ask. If you ask, you do receive. And there's some rules on that. There's universal laws. And basically they say that whatever you're asking for, if it is for your highest good and if it is positive for human evolution, you will not be denied. The answer always comes. The problem is sometimes we lack the sensitivity to recognize the answer when it comes, because answers can come in the form of signs through natural phenomena, birds or whatever that's around us, or rainbows, for example, or just coincidence, seeming coincidences, or we can hear it in meditation telepathically or sense it on all sorts of levels. Those senses we have can pick up responses and answers to any questions we have. And I think training ourselves to be able to read the responses in the fields when we ask the answers for our questions is a bit of an art. But when we are sincere, even that is developed within us, so we can have that power of discernment and also understanding what's true for us.
Well, you know, I want to encourage people to really listen to and act on what they do get, because I think when you're first consciously meditating and asking for guidance and especially asking for Ascended Master guidance, that things will seem sort of like a daydream, or, you know, like I used to think it was my own imagination. And and then I got so many signs showing me that the thing I got was the true message.
Yeah. Look, that is one of the biggest questions I get asked when I travel around the world. And people from all walks will ask me this, whether they're Buddhists or Christians or Jews, whatever they are, everybody wants to receive clear guidance that they can trust. And in some of my books I've covered this, but I'd like to share a little gift with the audience just to help, because I think we're coming into a time where we really need to trust our intuition, because we're moving into times where what I say is the worlds are merging. We've got this parallel world of absolute paradise that we've meditated on for a long time that I've spoken of before, and it is merging now into this existing reality. And when worlds merge like this, there's always more chaos. It's like the stuff that's not of the higher light is getting squished and it makes more noise. So it seems like there's craziness and chaos, but it's just kind of merging worlds. Yeah. And so at this time, we really need to trust our inner guidance. And it's easy to say, well, sit down, meditate, and learn to listen to your voice of intuition. But then, as you said, people say, well, how can I tell the difference between my divine voice and what's my crazy monkey mind or ego? And the Aboriginals have a good tool for this. They use a sway tool where the body is a pendulum, and they ask the divine one to express its will through them by moving them forward with the chi energy flow. So you literally feel yourself move forward for a yes answer, or backwards for a no. But you can't ask a question. You've got to make a statement. So you might be confused. You might say, it's for my highest good to move to Connecticut. And it's because you're thinking of moving to Connecticut, but you're not sure if you should. So you make the statement, it is for my highest good to move to Connecticut. Focus on the divine one within you as the king, the queen, that it's going to move you one way in response for regarding what's your highest good, and then chant that over and over, and then you'll feel that chi push backwards or forwards. Now, that's good, but on one level, people say, you can override that with your mind. So the tool that I really like is the breath tool. And that is because the divine force breathes us as it is this infinite matrix. It moves like wind through every life form. And so it breathes us in a certain way. So one way to work with this is to understand its different rhythm when it breathes us. For example, and people can try this at home, if you are making a statement that is absolutely true for you and in alignment with your divine self, then it will breathe you in a certain way. Its breathing rhythm will drop deep inside of you. So you don't have to do a breath technique. You just watch your breath. So you make the statement, it is for my highest good to move to Connecticut, for example. If it is for your highest good, the breath will drop right down into your stomach, to your solar plexus area, and or you might find your lungs really expanding because your divine one agrees with that statement. If it's not for your highest good, what people find is that the breath becomes really shallow and flows up to the throat, or they get a feeling that the lungs are constricting. So this is an incredible tool to use because your divine one will let you know always when you're in alignment with its will, beyond monkey mind and beyond ego. So anytime you're at choice, you just make a statement about that choice, either one, as if it's true, and then see what the breathing rhythm does. So, you know, that's a powerful tool as well, and it's one way for us to really always be in that state where we're listening to the divine one within and in alignment always with its will. Do you like that?
Wow.
Two good tools.
What do you explain what you mean by monkey mind? How is that different than ego mind?
I don't know. I guess an ego is a sense of I, a very strong sense of I, and the individual, the separatist reality, me, mine, I, possession. You could see it in different terms, but that's how some people see it today. Of course, if you looked at Freud or some of the others, they may see it a little differently. Then you also have the monkey mind, which is this amazing servant to the divinity we are, but we don't tend to see it like that. I tend to see the monkey mind like a university student, and I don't know if you remember your uni days, but most people at that age, we tend to think we know everything. We're out there, we're going to change the world, we're in control, you know, full of idealism sometimes, or whatever it is. But it's something that's constantly running commentaries on life and assessing and creating reason about and being logical about and whatever. And so it's a great tool, but it can't be in charge of our destiny. It can't be in charge of our life because it's limitless. It's limited, should I say. It doesn't have the limitless capability of the divinity we are, because the divinity we are is part of this incredible web of oneness. It is all-knowing. It is all-powerful. It can move us beyond time. It can access as a master computer controller of the system, past, present, future realities, multidimensional worlds, interdimensional worlds. And so the one that really needs to be in power, in charge of our life, is our inner king, our inner queen, the divinity we are, because it is limitless in its expression. And it understands everything from the bigger picture, whereas the monkey mind understands things from a limited picture. It has a far more limited perspective. And I think one of the problems we have in our world is that people give charge, who's in charge of them in their life and who they give their power to is either the physical systems, consciousness, that's just interested in survival, you know, like food, sex, whatever, where we're going to sleep, the money games, the survival issue, which is fine, or the emotional mind, emotional aspect, which is like the teenager who's up and down on a bit of a roller coaster, always exploring the emotional spectrum, which is great as well, but again, it's not the one that knows enough to be in charge of our being. Or we have the university student in charge, and, you know, it doesn't know enough either. So we have to get to a point, I think, in our life where we ask ourselves, who is in charge of my being, and does my life really work for me with this aspect of myself in charge? And if you can say no, then rearrange the power structure within and give the divinity you are, the infinite love source and power source, the chance to really run your life by listening to its voice and following your gut instinct and your higher senses and your intuition. And when you do that, life's great. Even when life's tough sometimes, you tend to have a different attitude because you say, show me the gifts, show me the learning here. And as soon as you ask to see the gifts and learning in any tough situation in life, then it becomes easier because you see it not from a victim point of view, but more from the point of view of, okay, there's great learning being delivered to me here now. What is it? And we look for that. It comes. We get the lesson. We move on. Life shifts again.
Yeah, you know, one time when I was having a really hard time with a person, I meditated on it, and my guidance was, and not only for that condition, but for any condition, to see that person as the Christ, and
exactly. Then
say, what is the Christ in this person and situation teaching me? Not to focus
exactly. On
them.
Yeah.
You know, I used to try to fix them because they didn't know they were the Christ.
That's irrelevant what they know. What's important is that we look for the Christ in ourselves and we look for the Christ in everyone else.
Yes.
You know, and something, like I was in the jungles in Brazil, as you know from our last discussion, I was going down to work in the slums in Brazil and also in the jungles, just bringing the Krana program, our alternate feeding program, into third world countries. And when I was in the jungles with a particular tribe and we were looking at this, I was participating in some of their rituals and ended up being in the presence of that Christed energy through the ritual and looking at my work in the world and working in Africa and India and other places with the Prana program and just feeling a bit overwhelmed and thinking, oh my God, how are we going to do this? And the Christed energy said, look, all you have to do is look for the Christ in the heart of every being that you meet. Then look into their eyes and see the Christed light there. And in the looking, they will see what you see, and in that, they will be transformed. And I thought, well, I can do that. That's not a difficult service.
That's really easy.
Yeah, you just look to see the Christ in every being that you meet, in their heart and in their eyes, which is the window of their soul. And when you do that, when you focus on that, that energy within them recognizes that you see it and blossoms and grows because, again, as Universal Source Law says, whatever we focus on will grow. So we can all do that with each other and transform ourselves and each other and the planet just by looking for that common thread within us all, whether we call it the Buddhic energy of infinite cosmic Christ love energy. You know, because the Buddhists are always talking about the Buddha Maitreya, which is pure cosmic love. And that's what the Christ energy is. It's just pure cosmic love. Forget religion. And so as we look for that web of infinite love and Christed consciousness within all, then it grows and our world just shifts itself quite dynamically into a completely different realm of reality. So it's nice.
I know you have received some information about the Second Coming, and
yeah. To
me, that's what the Second Coming is. Everyone recognizes themselves as the Christ,
because
that's what Christ came to do. He didn't come to die for our sins. He came to say,
yeah.
walk this way, you know.
I think one of the things, too, that people don't understand, and I didn't understand either, like before I went to Brazil, I went in November, I spent the month of November there, and about 3 weeks before I went, I just had a day meditating on the healing ability that the Christed energy can deliver. And I was thinking about Jesus and the stories, whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter, but the stories that he could raise people from the dead, that he could touch and restore sight to people. And I was really thinking about how much faith would a being need to have to be able to step out of the way and really allow that power to flow through them to perform such things as instant sight or resurrection back into life. And I didn't get an answer then, but I did when I was in the jungle. And I was shown, you know, just the depth of the power of the Christ, because I've always focused on its love and wisdom, you know, no matter what label we give it, there is this infinite field of love and wisdom that has flowed through all the messengers through time. But I didn't understand its power, and I do now, you know. This power of the Christed energy can, it's like, it's more than an atomic bomb. If you could imagine Hiroshima just totally exploding, this energy, one, it gave birth to that type of energy of atomic explosion, but in its infinite love, not only can it explode a human being into a billion pieces of cosmic dust and billions of atoms, but it can, in great love, regather that being back again in an instant and reform them. And when we understand the power of this love and this wisdom, that's when we can step aside and allow it to flow through us to do the most miraculous healing of individuals, of planets, and more. And it is, it's not even a second coming. It is here. That Christed energy is here now in me, in you, in the world, and it's just pulsing through everything. And as we identify with it, as we look for it, as we seek to understand it, it reveals itself in its most amazing glory in whatever way we need to understand it. And that's why this time is so dynamic. It's just amazing.
Wow. Well, we haven't even said anything about you being a breatharian researcher. Talk about that in the Prana program.
Well, it's an interesting one because, you know, I think people have certain blueprints that what I say in codements or things that we agree to fulfill prior to each embodiment. And I don't know about your listening audience and what the belief systems are, but I read a couple of books by a guy called Michael Newton many years ago called Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. And he was I've probably mentioned it before, but it's a good background to get into here just briefly. He ended up looking at using hypnosis for people to access reasons in their childhood why they weren't getting healthy in their later life. No matter what they were doing, they just couldn't regain health. And there was usually childhood blocks, things that happened that they didn't want to get healthy or lose weight or whatever. He ended up, in his process of hypnosis, taking people from not just the alpha brainwave frequency level of hypnosis, but into theta and then even into delta. And in the delta and theta brainwave states, people were accessing all sorts of data that shocked him at first because he wasn't a meditator, he wasn't a metaphysician, he wasn't expecting it. And he ended up writing books on the information that these people gave him, over 1,000 test subjects all agreeing on similar things. And one of the things they were talking about and focusing on is life between lives. Like, what do we do between what do we do when we step out of the dream called living life? Because it is a dream. Anytime we forget who we are, we're in dreamland. When we remember all about ourselves and who we really are, we're awake, and that's where we are between lives. And, you know, we make agreements to do certain things between lives in as we set things up for the next time around, virtues we'll gain, things we're going to re-experience.
Sorry to interrupt you, but don't you think people can be fully awake when they're alive in the body.
Yeah, that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just wait till you die, honey. Just get awake now.
Yeah.
But most people are still sleeping in the living life state, and we believe we're awake, but we're not, in comparison to the consciousness we have between lives, is what I meant to say. So as we meditate and as we allow the Christ within to really blossom, that's when we wake up while we are alive, and that's the journey now of really waking up. So one of the things I understood is the pre-commitments or the pre-agreements I made pre-embodiment, and that was to understand the path of true breatharianism, which I understood I could only do if I really lived it, if I experienced it myself. So, strangely enough, it's become my journey for the last 14 years of researching it, not just for me, but also others who are doing it in the world, and then apply it to the bigger picture, which is the elimination of world health, world hunger problems. Because basically, as you allow your chi energy, or that pure Christed consciousness, or Buddhic consciousness, whatever you call it, as you really increase its flow through your body, then some of the gifts it delivers into your system are absolutely incredible, like the gift of freedom from the need to age or die or eat or drink or, you know, or be asleep anymore. You know, to really, the main gift, I think, is just to really wake up and understand the bigger picture, but more than that, to also live your life in a constant flow and field of grace, which is an incredible gift.
So you're really talking about tuning in to the infinite source of good and staying tuned.
Yeah.
And drawing from that as your source.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know whether I like words good either, Iris, which is funny because everything just is. What is. And we then apply our interpretation to whether it's good or bad. But it's like everything is just here for us to enjoy and explore. How do we use energy? Do we use energy in a way that allows us to be in complete harmony within ourselves? And do we use energy in a way that allows that harmonic flow to go out into the world and harmonize the world, regardless of good or bad? It's more just energy that flows harmoniously or energy that flows less harmoniously. When energy is disharmonious in its flow, then we experience disease and chaos and, you know, a breaking down of the system, unhappiness, all that. When energy flows in harmony, then we are free from those sorts of limitations. And we do wake up to the power that we have as Christed beings. You know?
Well, I wanted to go back to this man who you read his books about using hypnosis.
Michael Newton.
What was his name?
Michael Newton.
Michael
Newton. Michael Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N. Two books, Destiny of Souls, Harmony of Souls.
Destiny of Souls and Harmony of Souls?
No, Destiny of Souls and Journey of Souls.
The Journey of Souls.
Look, it's just interesting information. It's like Ian Stevenson's work on reincarnation, you know, just tracking kids in India who kept, in their villages, kept saying things like their mother wasn't their mother and that their mother lived in a village next door and please take them home, because they had full recall of who they were in previous lives. And when they were taken to the village next door, they'd come running up to people and say, "Oh, Mum, I missed you." And it would turn out that that child had died in drowning accident or whatever. And it had full recall of previous existences. And he researched many cases of this. So, you know, I mean, I guess it's interesting that this discussion's come up, but one of the first things we need to understand in field harmonics, because I'm not interested in religion and I'm not even particularly interested in spirituality, my work over the years has moved more into the science of energy fields, which takes you beyond religion. It's just the way energy flows, you know, as I said, harmoniously or not. And I think one of the things we need to understand is that energy cannot be destroyed or created. It simply changes form. When you get that, then the whole reality of reincarnation or life between lives, it just all makes sense because it's just energy shifting form. But regardless of our belief systems on that, the bottom line is who are we today? Are we living our life in a way where we're healthy, where we're happy, where our dreams are fulfilled, where our presence on this planet is adding to this planet, empowering this planet, harmonizing this planet? Are we co-creating in a way that allows our planet to go beyond the rise and fall? You know, we've had Atlantis, we've had Lemuria, we've had Egypt, we've had so many kinds of civilizations really powering on and then moving into a little disharmony and falling again. And the beauty of this time around is we're being given the opportunity to rise and stay risen.
Yeah, the permanent, eternal golden age.
Yes, yes, it's the prophecies support this. And we have the power. We, as more and more people awaken to that power and love and wisdom, that infinite source within, and we allow it to guide us, then we can create something that's going to shift us in and is shifting us and has shifted many now into higher realms of infinite possibility and great love and light, where we are living in a planet where there is no disharmony, no poverty, no war, no hunger, no disease, no children dying every 2 seconds. I mean, talking about the Prana program, as I've often said, you know, 1/3 of our military budget per year before the Iraqi war, 1/3 of that budget would eliminate all global poverty. You know, why hasn't that been done? Because we haven't had the consciousness to work in a way where we prioritize things in a different way financially. There's absolutely no need for that sort of stuff, you know. And while there is children dying every second of hunger-related diseases and lack of compassion, then we're considered a barbaric planet. So we move into looking at the different problems in our world, using our resources, our human resource of infinite divinity and all the other resources, and we clean up some of this stuff. People still can learn their karma without all that stuff. And if they really need to suffer greatly through setting up those realities, they can go into another dimension and planetary system and continue on that path, because Earth is destined now to move into the most amazing state of grace.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the thing is, if I believe that and you believe that, we'll create it.
Well,
people can say, it's not that simple. Well, hang on, it is that simple. It's just what you focus on becomes real. So let's focus on this movement of our planet into a state of infinite eternal grace.
Yes, and let's operate from compassion. Compassion,
yes.
And love for
exactly.
Each other. Like,
yeah.
You know, just a glaring example of how we have operated were in the Katrina thing here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When they sent in the militia to stop the looting when people hadn't been taken, when there was no water in hospitals.
Exactly.
When people were drowning still.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, if I was there and I had a store or something and a lot of valuable goods, I would have left it and gotten in a boat and gone to help people get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we have to be willing to put life at the top of the list. You know, what is the quality of life here? Am I contributing to the quality of life? Am I behaving in a loving, compassionate, uplifting way?
Yeah.
You know,
and that's, it comes back to that. You know, like we're always being asked not to judge each other, not to judge situations. But at the same time, it's interesting to stand back and look at choice. Like when you look at 9/11, for example, in America, and many people have had discussions on this, there was a choice there. The government situation could have basically said, okay, this is perhaps a message, whatever. We are going to handle this in a completely different way. All the money we would spend on war and retribution and revenge, we are now going to take this, billions and billions of dollars, and we're going to channel it into eliminating world hunger and world health issues and global poverty. What an interesting choice. Now, if all that money that's been spent on killing, on retribution, on all of that, had been rechanneled, that would have been the most amazing act of compassionate leadership that the world would have been stunned by. But other choices were made. Fine. That's the way life is sometimes. But we are now aware that we can rise above everything and always act from a point of incredible love and compassion and mastery. And that's what's being demanded of us, regardless of what's going on in the world, to set a moral standard, to set a standard of behavior where what is the first consideration is human life and quality of human existence rather than snuffling resources or money or power gains or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's four tests in the path of every spiritual initiate, how we deal with, and as we grow and expand our consciousness, how we deal with fame, how we deal with sex, how we deal with money, how we deal with power. Because the greater your light shines and the more influence you have in the world, you're going to be tested in these areas. Do you take that money and use it for me, 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 or do you take that money and use it for we? Your fame. Do you take your fame and use it for your own ego trip, or do you take your fame and use it in a way that's beneficial for the world, like Mother Teresa? Do you take the power that you have access to as you step into that infinite field of love and use it for the good of all, or, you know, so that everyone benefits, or do you get sidetracked on an ego power trip? And sex, the same game. So, you know, you can look in the world leadership games and see how people are being tested all the time in these different initiations as they grow as spiritual beings, remembering who they really are. You know,
well,
that's all good. We've learned. You know, we have different choices now.
Well, you know, to me, it's not even a moral thing. It's coming, just being a mom, and I have the same concern for everyone's child as for my own.
Yeah.
Just as a mom, and I mean all species, not just humans. I mean animals. Every animal has a right to see their children grow up and be happy.
Yeah. So that's what's so nice about the Prana program, because, you know, when I was a vegetarian for 20-something years before I started to live purely on Prana, and people would talk to me about, but when you pull a carrot out of the ground and you bite into it, it screams. And it's like, yeah, well, maybe it does. And where do you draw the line there, you know? Like protection of animals, protection of children, protection of vegetables, protection of trees in the Amazons. The beauty about living purely on God's love and God's light and the Christed love and light that flows through all, and the Buddhic love and light, and the love and light that flows through Mohammed, you know, when we really get that run going, we are free from creating harm on any level to any creature. And again, that is, I guess, where do you draw the line? You know, some people say, well, I'm not going to harm children. I'm going to do what I can to take care of the children of the world, but they'll still go and spend their dollars on the slaughter of animals to put meat on the table, which is just a choice. Other people go, well, I'll take care of the children, I'm going to take care of the animals, and they won't spend $1 supporting the industry of slaughter. Other people
of
say,
what?
Okay.
Of the industry of what?
Slaughter.
Oh, okay.
Killing.
Yeah.
You know? So it depends on every individual and what they want to do. Other people will say, okay, well, I'm going to be a vegan and I won't spend any dollar on industries that exploit animals on any level. Other people say they'll take it to another level again. And then you have people who are, you know, choosing to allow prana to really nourish them, not just for ethical reasons, but because we can. You know, for no reason, just because every human being has within them this amazing flow of energy that you can pump up the volume of, you know, by focusing on it. The more you focus on that infinite field of love, the more it blossoms within you. The more you look for God inside of yourself and others, the more it blossoms. And in its blossoming, the more gifts it reveals to you about its true nature. And one of them is its gift and ability to really nourish us and take away all hungers on all levels. So when we exist in a world with human beings who are not hungry, wow, well, we have an interesting world. Because instead of seeking and taking, we'll be giving and just radiating and shining.
Well, that don't you think that's the purpose of all life, to become a sun presence?
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll be in the pool at night and I look up at the stars and I just say, oh, make me shine like you do. And being a focus of God's love, then all I'm concerned about is giving.
Because
I already have everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and it's like, you know, in Germany years ago, because I have a lot of my books published in Germany, and you've probably read Eckhart Tolle's book about being here now, just really that focus of being in every moment, and that's part of the shining as well, where you don't have to be anywhere or in anything, you just are, in this state of grace, just enjoying everything, and you find that the state of prayer that you are in is just a prayer of thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because as you said, there's nothing you need anymore, and all you feel now is gratitude. And the universe celebrates that because it says, fantastic, here's another one who's woken up to their abilities as a master to magnetize everything they need naturally to themselves to be completely fulfilled and need nothing. And they have entered into a state of grace where all they can do is say thank you. You know, and that's what's nice to invite people to step into, regardless of our religious beliefs, regardless of all that. None of that matters. What matters is, do our beliefs serve us enough to allow us to constantly be in that state of grace, to be that shining light, to require nothing anymore from anything or anyone, because we are so loved and so held in a state of grace and so grateful for it. So, you know, this is all the things that we have available to us, and you can't even begin to tell people the benefits of living constantly in that state of grace. It's something when you're in, you're just like, wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you something I saw the other day that describes it, and I just think it's a good thing to say to yourself. It raises the hair on the back of my neck, and what it is I am happy, fulfilled, and inspired beyond words to describe.
Yeah.
And when you're in that place, it's, I had this thought the other day in meditation about, I was listening to the birds.
Yeah.
And the birds outside my window while I was meditating were just having such a celebration, you know, just enjoying their life so much and singing, all of them singing their song. And, and my thought was, birds can fly because they're constantly in the state of giving praise, love, and gratitude.
Yeah.
They're just so happy.
Yeah.
That's
what
makes them able to fly.
Yeah, well, we defy limitations then. When we live our life in a state of grace, when we live our life in a state of thankfulness, when we live our life in a state of true joy, because we are truly joyous, then we are free from so many human limitations, and all sorts of things become possible for us that other people think are miraculous, but they're not miraculous. It's just that natural state of grace that really allows us to move beyond our normal limitations.
Well, it's the science of energy fields, like you were talking about. It's like tuning into a different station on the radio, and it's tuning into that frequency of joy that is our natural state of well-being.
And go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I once asked the Holy Ones, because we do have different cosmic stations, as you know, and to me, the energy point or the energy field of the Christ is well and truly alive. It's everywhere, as is the Buddhic Mohammed energy. It's all there within the grid. And one of the things I once asked this energy was, what is the greatest gift that humanity have? I thought they'd say something gooey like love, but they didn't. They actually said time. The greatest gift we have is how we spend our time, because what we spend our time doing determines our frequency, the transmission signals we're sending out into the greater field, which then determine how the field responds to us in turn. because as everyone's always saying, and it's very much a New Age cliche and very true, the universe and everything in our life is simply a mirror of our own state of consciousness. So if we don't like it, well, change our consciousness and the world around us will change to reflect that. So it's not that difficult in the science of energy fields. What we spend our time doing determines the signals we transmit into the field and determines if we stay constantly in that state of grace or if we're, you know, more of a yo-yo going in and out of that state, you know, feeling it sometimes but not able to permanently anchor ourselves there. And it's not that difficult. Our lifestyle, there's certain things you can do with your lifestyle that we've spoken to about before on this program, the 8 things, the Luscious Lifestyle Program, it puts us in that state of grace, you know, daily meditation, prayers of gratitude, being very aware of our mastery of our mind and whether our thoughts are limiting us or whether they're limitless, you know, lightening up the diet so the system can function a lot more freely with good chi flow, the exercising of the body, treating it like a temple, you know, service, just this giving to others without thought of reward, that's an amazing thing to put us in the channel of infinite compassion and kindness, time in silence in nature, and the use of sacred song, you know, really singing with heartfelt devotion. All of these things together are ways of spending time that we can do in our day-to-day life. You know, we can sing while we're washing the dishes. We can dance, you know, with wonderful bhajans and holy music with our kids and get some exercise. We can do our programming in the shower. You know, we can do all of this as we do our daily lives. And then all of it together magically shifts our frequency, our field of resonance, takes away our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual hungers, and allows the universe to respond to us in a completely different way because of the signals we're putting out into the greater field. So all of it on a scientific level, on the higher light science, it's not difficult. The spiritual path on this level, from this perspective, is not difficult. It's just how we choose to spend our time determines how much grace is in our life, how much magic, how much love.
Well, oh, I have about 10 things I wanted to ask you, and they just all crashed together in my mind, and now there's a blank.
Okay.
Well, I could listen to you for hours. You're one of the most interesting people I've ever talked to, and I want to be sure that people know how to get you because we're coming up to the end of the show, and I want to be sure that they see your artwork, and many of your books are available free to be downloaded on the internet, right?
Yeah, but they are. If they can, Jasmine Heen, because it's a, you know, it's my name, there's only one in the world, so it's Jasmuhen, they will find me on the internet. There's about 100,000 listings in Google for my name. A lot of it is absolute rubbish from people who just, we haven't managed to reach and really educate yet into what we're really doing. So there's a lot of misinformation there. But if they can, and then they'll find the Cosmic Internet Academy. It is under the Self-Empowerment Academy because that's the banner we run under. So www.selfempowermentacademy.com.au. They'll find me there, and also Jasmine Heen. And look, you know, all our books and everything are there. They're cheap, inexpensive e-books. They can go on lulu.com. L-U-L-U, I have about 7 books now listed there that can be shipped out to them of books that I feel are important. But apart from which, you know, I like people to never be dependent on anything outside of themselves, including my research and work, and just ask the universe to bring you the tools, the information, the books, everything that you need to really blossom into your full potential and experience the true joy and beauty of existence as the Christed ones that we are, or as the Buddhic ones we are, or whatever our belief systems are. You know, I like to encourage people to sit in meditation and send a beam of love from their heart into the heart of the Buddha or Muhammad or the Christ or Krishna or whoever they're feeling connected to, and ask to download all that wisdom direct from that source. beyond religion and beyond all the interpretations that come through the mental plane, and just really move into the experience of it and take it out of the mind and into the heart.
Thank you, Jasmine Heen. I could listen to you forever, and we're completely out of time. I don't even get to sing my song, but thank you for being here. Will you come back?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Iris, there's always so much to chat about. You
yes.
know us girls when we get together.
Yes, thank you so much.
And you too, sweetheart.
Next week, we have Sharon Callahan, who is a world-renowned animal communicator. And till then, God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.